Welcome to Big Game Hunger, a show where me and a guest craft the big next game every episode. We'll be taking three random ingredients and blending them together into one incredible game. I'm Jenna Stieber, and I crave content. And I'm joined by Rob Cox. Rob, who are you, and what do you have a hunger for?
Hey, I'm Rob, and I am the production lead at Isbred Games. We are a boutique. I'm making the like Italian exquisite hand gesture there, a boutique indie game publisher. We are best known for World of Horror recently. Before that, you may have played Valhalla Cyberpunk Bartender Action a while ago. And yeah, I am also a freelance artist in between all that. So I do a bit of work to sell and to go into game projects, including one or two things, which I would love to be telling you about, but I can't. And so I'm a freelance artist, and I do digital oil portraits in a 19th century style, which is mostly, it's like a byproduct of my Bloodborne addiction. It's a good mixed bag, I think. I've got so many kinds of enrichment in my little enclosure. Got a mirror to peck at.
That's, you've led me so gently into my question, which is, do you play any games other than Bloodborne games?
So I, despite it being like zero overlap, I've been really deep in the Balatro hole recently, and I'm not normally like a card game guy, or even like a, I don't know, it's just not normally my kind of thing, but something about it is just intoxicating on like an intravenous level. Obviously people have articulated why it's so addicting, and like the way it kind of tots up the malts and the chips faster and faster, as if it's like getting impatient with itself.
Oh yeah, like it's in such a rush to show you how many points you've gotten.
Yeah, it's like it's very proud of you, and it's like, look, and this one, and this, and more, and more, and more, and more. And it's like this crescendo of excitement. But also, one thing I love about it is like the music is such a melancholy enigma, because maybe it's me just like projecting meaning on what is basically muzak, like you would find in a department store.
Yeah.
But it's like weirdly, there's ennui in there, don't you think?
Like, yeah, it's very much places. An ennui shop music.
Yeah, it's like an ennui shopping channel.
I could not tell you what the music, anything about the music of, I can't, I don't, I mean, I play it with a little bit of the music up because you want that good hit of the points stacking and things like that, but I could not tell you what the music is at all.
No, I could like hum it, but only if I was like trying to fall asleep and it came to me as an intrusive thought. Normally I'm watching like the first 10 seasons of The Simpsons on a loop while I'm playing it. Yeah, in terms of stuff that's not Bloodborne, it's weird because people will say to me, oh, have you played Blasphemous and Blasphemous 2 and The Last Faith and all these kind of Bloodborne-inspired things? And it's weird because I can't really play them without just kind of falling off it and thinking, God, I really wish I was playing Bloodborne. Really wish I was playing Bloodborne, because it's like, it's always going to be just an echo, appropriately an echo with a capital E, of Bloodborne. And it's just, it doesn't hit the same.
And that's fine. It's never going to hit the same. They're different games.
No.
Are you going to do any beautiful digital oil paintings of Balatro? Are we going to get some like beautifully rendered oil jokers?
It could fit, right? Because it's like the whole concept of the kind of modern image of the clown, which you see in Balatro and all that stuff. It's like Pagliacci, right? It's like a Victorian concept, or even earlier. Like the ruffs are kind of a holdover from, you know, 17th, 18th, 19th century. And I could see it happening, but it would be a cursed image, really. There's no avoiding it. Like, you could tone it down and stylize it to whatever degree, and it would still be like a kind of melancholy, somber image of a clown. And yeah, but maybe.
How much would it cost to commission you to do a digital oil paint style recreation of the dogs playing poker, but all the poker cards are Balatro jokers?
Oh wow. There's like a merchandising idea in there somewhere, isn't there? I can imagine it as like a desk mat.
Yes. Like a
whatever, like 20 inch like Balatro official desk mat.
I'm gonna rip up the greens on my official casino poker table that is also my dining room table. I'm gonna rip up the greens of that and get this printed on a large mat and then reupholster it with this image.
Yeah, it's weird how Balatro in pretty much any parallel universe would normally be like quite heavily themed and skinned, but it's like such a, it's quite austere in its presentation almost, apart from the little jokers and the art on the cards is wonderful, but it's like, I don't know, I kind of hope they open it up to like modding at some point so you can get like a like Hatsune Miku like skin for Balatro or something.
I would love if you could unlock different like card backs. I think you should be able to upload individual, your personal image, and then the card backs, instead of being representative of the kind of deck you're playing, can just be like, it could just be like Dick Butt or whatever your favorite internet meme is.
Yeah, especially the when the special rules come in effect where like the entire hand is like face down, and you could have like a picture of your friend doing like a kind of haughty like index finger raised kind of expression, like
go to bed. Yeah. It's 2 a.m. you fucked up.
Yeah, so that could be like, I think Overwatch had like an in-game clock in the HUD precisely to, not explicitly, but clearly to just remind you that it's 2 a.m. and you don't need to like start queuing again. So it could be a kind of more integrated kind of a gentle scolding, I think.
Yes, like Nintendo would do. Just like a little way of reminding you that you have work in the morning and that this is a fake poker game that you can put down at any moment.
Yeah, or like a kind of Tiger Woods PGA Tour 08 style like face scan thing where like you become the Joker, the clown is you. The clown is you for staying up at 3 a.m. on a work night.
The clown is me. I love that. I love the idea that it does slowly morph. Starting at, you can set a time for it. This is not what this show is, but it kind of is what this show is. I like the idea that at midnight, it starts to morph your face very slowly. And so it starts to get more and more uncanny. And then by the time whatever your in time is, like 1 a.m., your face is totally morphed and all the Jokers look like you. And that is your nightmarish vision reminder to go to fuck to bed.
Yeah, it's like an Animorph style trajectory.
Yes.
Where you're like, hang on, has the face changed on this like plus four multi Joker? No, it's just me getting tired. And then like you play like more and more antis, and then it just resembles you, kind of like gaunt and sleep deprived. And it's like an intervention on yourself.
You upload a normal image, but then there are image processing in the game that make you look gaunt and sleep deprived and have giant bags under your eyes.
Yeah, just to like really double down on the message. Yeah.
Rob, are you ready to roll on the ingredient list and see what kind of game we're making today?
Yeah, roll them bones.
All right.
Shoot those craps.
I'm going to roll 3d20, pick 3 ingredients from my list, an adjective, a premise, and a type of gameplay. All right. And we've got an interesting lineup. This is also where I ask you, do you want to participate in the Grant Howitt Dagger Dartboard? If you say yes, we'll flip a coin and potentially add one of those to substitute one of the prompts that I have rolled.
So this is something I've given thought to, Jenna.
Okay. Thank you.
So last night, I think accidentally heard the song Go Your Own Way by Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, maybe which one is Grant and which one am I in like the Fleetwood Mac verse? Like, am I Stevie Nicks?
You're definitely Stevie Nicks.
so
utterly Stevie Nicks.
I'm Stevie Nicks maxing. I'm Stevie maxing. And I want to go my own way because I think pretty much every other guest you've had on has kind of participated in the gambit.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say no. I'm going to be captain of my own ship.
Thank you. Thank you for taking that option. Because I worried I was fucking up by having people both choose and then a coin flip. Because both at this moment, both people and fate choose. And I respect that you're like, no, we have enough fate on this show.
No, and like coin flips, I kind of, they're useful for kind of confronting how you really feel about something. Like you get the result and then your gut reaction tells you what you really want, I think. So really the coin flip is inside us.
That is how I approach coin flips, actually. I never flip a coin. When I flip a coin, I almost never take the result. I am just trying to figure out which I feel. Because if you flip a coin and you get one option and you're like, okay, great, let's do it, then that was probably the option you want. And if you're like, oh, well then you've learned something important about you and fate and your relationship to it.
Yeah, it's like a cosmic mirror.
Yeah. All right, our prompts are, our adjective is terrifying, our premise is birthday, and our type of gameplay is Breath of the Wild-like.
Okay, okay, okay. Birthday is an interesting curveball. I've got something cooking here.
Oh, okay.
There's a lot of like farming sims and like ranching sims. I think there's like a new ranching sim that's kind of riding the zeitgeist currently. I can't remember the name. I think it is just called Ranch Sim, Ranching Simulator or something.
Right.
So I think, am I right in thinking, Jenna, that I might be the first guest you've had who's not from North America or lives in North America?
Oh, that's a good question.
Maybe.
It's extremely possible. I'm flipping back over.
Let's assume that I am, and that okay. I'm extra yeah. special. Like a lot of these farming sims, and like especially when it comes to ranching, these are very like North American ideas. Where like you can move if you want to leave the city and start like a quiet life somewhere, you can find like an empty piece of land. And like when I was flying to GDC a few weeks ago, there's a lot of empty land down there, and it's kind of scary. Like Idaho has got nothing going on down there.
It's true. It's all underground because it's all potatoes. And you can't see that from
that's
the
very
plane.
True. Plus like the ICBM silos probably. but like the idea of being like teleported down there is kind of terrifying. So like whereas in North America you can, or at least at one point in history, you could like just pack up and leave and just find what seems to be an empty patch of land and you're miles and miles from anyone, like hundreds of miles. Whereas like here in England where I live, it's not really, there's like empty land, but it's probably a national park. It's probably like protected, or it's just like you're only a few miles from like the nearest village or whatever. So what I'm saying is if you want to be like a farmhand in England, you're probably living in a village.
Okay.
And in the villages, everyone knows your business. Like there are no secrets in a village. Like okay. whether you like it or not, whether you are a private person or not, somehow everyone, they're at least like aware of your comings and goings.
Small town and living. Yeah.
It's small town living. So I'm thinking it's terrifying. Okay. Is one of our prompts. Number one, Breath of the Wild. It's rural at least. Let's take that. So I'm thinking like, let's reimagine the farming sim, the ranching sim.
Okay.
You're in like an English county. There's nowhere to like really just be out in the middle of nowhere because there's not really that much of that going on. So you're in a village and everyone kind of knows your business. So there's like that kind of interpersonal element. And I think that gets manifested in gameplay. Jenna, do you remember probably like within the last few years, there was a kind of viral image of someone had like the Peggle app on their phone. And there was like a permissions request. It was like, a Peggle wants to make phone calls. Like a yes or no. Peggle wants to call people in your address book. And the caption on the tweet was like, you know what? Yeah, like who cares anymore? Peggle make phone calls, go ahead. So like the game is a mobile game, but it has permissions to like read your texts and read your DMs.
Okay.
To kind of, that's like the nosy neighbor aspect of living in a village where okay. they kind of know like your relationship status, or they know like what you do for a living. This is the terrifying aspect. That's prompt one ticked off. It's kind of like it's like rural farming sim horror where
okay.
the game knows kind of your essential information and who your friends are, where you've been. Am I cooking?
Okay, yeah. No, okay. There's some things I want to pick down into there. First of all, I want to clarify because I know fans of the show will be like, Jenna, how dare you? We did have Eduardo Valdez Evia on, who is a Spanish artist. So you are not the first European. You're not the only European I know, Rob. Second of all, one of my favorite genres of TikToks is British people realizing how big America is. it's a whole genre of people being like, oh, you can drive like 10 hours in California and still be in California. And you would be in the ocean anywhere in the UK. You tried to do that. Here's my pitch for this concept that you're putting out. First of all, I think it's wild that you're like Breath of the Wild alike. What if it's rural? What if that means it's just a rural game? I think that's a very funny interpretation of that prompt. Well, I think it's an accurate one. It is rural. Like, there's no real big city in those games. It's like purposefully very, very countryside focused.
People are kind of up in your business as well.
Yeah, they really are. And vice versa.
You just want to like kind of go frolicking and gliding around, but you've got commitments, which you didn't ask for. And the way that in a village, you have neighbors who are like, oh, you know, you work in computers. Yeah. Like, I bought one in 2006 and I don't know how to use it. can you like come around and show me how to like email this dot like ODT document to myself? Because that's how I keep my accounts and my taxes.
Let me pitch this to you. So a popular thing in relatively modern horror games is to have some sort of meta element. I'm thinking of Pony Island as a really good example, where when you're playing the game, there will be a moment in which the game pretends to be Steam and pops up messages from people who are actually your friends on Steam. It will make it seem like they are messaging you to like yell at you, basically. I think that is really genuinely terrifying, because it's like, oh my god, what's happening? I'm live on stream. Please stop doing this, Pony Island. What if this is a terrifying birthday game in that either it's malware or you download it sometime during the year, but it only activates on your phone on your birthday? So you download it like half a year away from your birthday and you're like, okay, what is this? And you try to play it and it will not function. And you forget about it. And it's just hanging out on your phone as this weird app that you forget to delete all the time. And then on your birthday, that is when it pops off with this thing that you're talking about, like this really weird people in your actual contact list texting you to be like, hey, I don't know what the prompt would be. It can't be anything too real, because that would be upsetting, but something like surreal and dreamlike it could pop off on.
I mean,
what if malware, Rob?
What if malware, but fun?
Yes.
And like with that Nintendo charm.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do we Breath of the Wild it? I mean, do you make it like it's like a birthday message from Link, or it's a birthday message from like one of the ancient like the crispy guys at the end of each shrine, where they're all wizened.
Yes, yeah. And it's like, this is you, right? Over the hill.
Yeah, it's just like a message saying, haha, this is you. And it's like this crispy old kind of shrine guardian.
What you're proposing is a terrifying birthday, officially Nintendo branded virus game?
It's got to be licensed at least, yeah. I mean,
a Breath of the Like doesn't have to be a literal Breath of the Wild. I think I said Breath of the Like, but that also works. A Breath of the Like doesn't have to be. It can be, if we can just pull certain aspects from Breath of the Wild that we like or are interested in.
But it's still terrifying and will ruin your birthday.
I mean, there's some pretty fucked up stuff in Breath of the Wild. Creepy shrines. The Zelda games have always had a weird undertone of kind of ominous stuff. I can't think of any from Breath of the Wild. All I can think of are ones from Tears of the Kingdom. But it's just like everything with Ganon and the Underdark and the weird like red goop monster that you have to attack with light and stuff like that. That's all pretty crazy and horrifying.
What if you get a like a special call on your birthday, like in the way that, you know, you might get a call like from a parent on your birthday to ask you've been doing anything nice, and wow, I can't even comprehend you being, insert Rob's current age here. Yeah, and I remember when you were just a little baby boy. Maybe like,
are those the calls you get from your parents on your birthday? That's sweet.
They're definitely the texts that I get, yeah. And it'll be like some photograph of me as like a 5-year-old, just an extremely round face, like grinning, kind of holding my granddad's hand 5 feet in the air.
Cute.
Terrifying though.
I mean, here's the thing is, I think any amount of virus-based gameplay is going to have an edge of terrifyingness. It's really a question of like, how much do we want to lean into it? Like, is it startling because you look at your phone on your birthday and you've got a text from Mr. Link Zelda being like, happy birthday? or is there more into it? Like, what is the gameplay of this weird virus thing?
Is it like a birthday exclusive shrine, which you've got to solve? Does it increase in difficulty for like each passing year? Or does it kind of, does it account for like senility and get easier every year?
No, I think it's like two diverging thoughts. One, one thing I love about the Arkham City game is that Calendar Man is a villain in that game and he's imprisoned. And if you go to him on specific days of the year, like actual holidays, he will have like special audio lines that he only says on like Valentine's Day. And it's mostly stuff that's like, it's Valentine's Day, Batman, alone again. It's really dumb stuff. It's not worth doing, but it'll match up with like your on console timing to happen. So I love that this is a precedent we're tapping into. I don't remember. I knew I was going to remember only one of the two things that I wanted to explore. And I went, oh no, the other one was the senility and as you age. I think this should be like, because, you know, you hear that like doing Sudoku a day or doing the crossword every day is good for your brain because it gets those thought juices flowing through your brain pipes. Maybe it's that. I think it should get harder and I think it should be a difficult little puzzle. I think this is an app. This app automatically gets downloaded to your Apple iPhone, to everybody's Apple iPhone. And then for the rest of your life on your birthday, you get this fun little game treat and it carries through the rest of time. So you can see your cognitive increase or decline as you play it decade after decade.
I mean, the logical extrapolation of this is that there comes a point where I guess maybe Link, maybe Zelda would kind of break it to you more gently. Has to kind of report on how far you've declined, like your cognitive fall from grace, like kind of Zelda voice here, like, Rob, you've become old and decrepit. Your brain's turned to mush, Rob. It's telling that I'm English, like born and raised, but I can't do like a kind of classic
princessy,
what people think of as like a received pronunciation, quote, British accent. So yeah, maybe there's like a better kind of medical authority in Hyrule who could kind of dress it up a bit for you.
I don't think so. People in Zelda games heal by eating hearts that they get from monster drops. So I don't think there are doctors there. I hope you're enjoying Big Game Hunger. You should check out some of the other shows that are part of the Multitude Collective. I think you'd enjoy Spirits. Spirits is a history and comedy podcast focused on everything folklore, mythology, and the occult, told through the lens of feminism, queerness, and modern adulthood. Every week, mythology buff Julia and her childhood best friend Amanda get together to learn about a different story from mythology and folklore over drinks. Get it? Spirits! That's everything from mythological origins of major franchises like Lord of the Rings and Wonder Woman, to a roundup of werewolf stories around the world, to modern urban legends like Creepypasta. Maybe there's an episode on that that has a cool person that joined them for that episode, then you want to listen to it. Start listening with any of the 300 episodes they've released over the last 7 years. There is so much to enjoy, whether you're here for the analyses of mental health and mythology, or just want some creepy modern ghost stories. Dive in at spiritspodcast.com or search for Spirits wherever you download your podcasts. I know you've got a big game hunger, but what about a big game thirst? Are you familiar with Shaker and Spoon? They're a subscription cocktail service that helps you learn how to make handcrafted cocktails right at home. Every box of Shaker and Spoon comes with enough ingredients to make 3 different cocktail recipes developed by world-class mixologists. All you need to do is buy 1 bottle of that month's spirit, gin, vodka, etc., and you have all that you need to make 12 drinks at home. For just about $50 per month, plus the cost of the bottle, this is a super cost-effective way to enjoy craft cocktails, and you can skip or cancel boxes at any time. This is a perfect thing for going into the holidays when you're going to have people over and friends and family that maybe you want to impress with a classy nightcap. You can do that with a Shaker and Spoon box. So invite some friends over, class up your nightcaps, or be the best house guest of all time with your Shaker and Spoon box. And you can use a Big Game Hunger code to get $20 off your first box at shakerandspoon.com/BGH. That stands for Big Game Hunger. What if, I mean, this isn't really a game, but I do like the idea, and I'm just going to put this out in the world, about a birthday app. It's sort of like Spotify Unwrapped, but it's on your birthday, and it pops up, and it just tells you how much time in the year you have spent on your phone, and it breaks it down by app. And it's the terrifying aspect of it is the horror of how you have spent your life and the sort of existential dread of having another year pass where you spent 40 hours a week on TikTok.
And then is there kind of like a, does it kind of generate a Breath of the Wild style shrine where you confront the thing that has like kind of something that symbolically represents like your greatest vice? Like, yes. If you've been wasting away watching TikToks of like Stanley Cup accessories and lifestyle products relating to Stanley Cups.
I like what you're cooking. I love the idea of an individual shrine that only pops up on your birthday and doesn't have to be on your phone. This, in fact, it sounds like this is more of a Switch-based thing, which I like in its own way. And I do, although I guess if we're doing something that's based on your time usage, it would have to be on your phone. All right, it's a phone app. It's a Breath of the Wild DLC phone app that only terrifies you once a year. And it is like you go into the shrine and it's a combat shrine, and it is you defeating mentally and emotionally one of the shrine monsters, but it is like TikTok colored. Like, it is colored like the branding of the app that you use most. And at the end, after you defeat it, if you successfully defeat it, it prompts you to uninstall the app.
And free you for another year at least.
Yes. Yeah. And then you have to make the choice, like, am I ready to move on from this app, or do I still need it?
There's so much customizability with Tears of the Kingdom and the whole crafting thing in Breath of the Wild, and we're going to grandfather in Tears of the Kingdom because, you know, they are of the same cloth. Going back to the Spotify Unwrapped kind of confrontation of who you are and how you've wasted or not wasted,
spent used it. Yeah,
maybe. I don't know, Jenna, do you gotta like make a Stanley Cup with like tree branches? And I don't think that's anything.
I was willing to follow it. I do like the idea of, like, I mean, if we're talking about cognitive decline and fighting the inevitable decryption of our bodies and minds, I do like the idea of being given a puzzle where you have to build something, because that feels like a very good brain stimulating activity. Did we want to explore any other versions of this? Like, are there other birthday themed games that we could come up with, the ones that are not one yearly playable games? Is there anything on that thread you want to pull?
It's weird, like, I'm so inexperienced with
birthdays.
Unless you're like 100, have you really had that many? And were you kind of able to riff a compelling game elevator pitch.
You have the most amount of birthdays you've ever had before right now, Rob. Does that not make you an expert in your own birthdays?
Never been more qualified. I mean, there's the whole aging thing from Ocarina of Time, right? Where
you
become like old Link.
Ooh.
Whatever the age gap is between, and I'm not, maybe someone who's more familiar with the lore of Zelda games would know, the age gap between, quote, current day Link and like the future Link that you play as in Ocarina of Time, maybe you kind of, do you kind of get shown yourself like in the future, that age gap?
Okay, you mean
added
like...
added onto your current age?
It's a simulator of your future self. Is that what you're kind of suggesting?
Maybe, but I guess it only happens on your birthday, and it's like you get jump scared with you as like an elderly Link. I don't think that's anything either.
I want to put an idea out here just to exercise it from my brain. I think you could do a Breath of the Wild like game where you're in a small town area and you're a young girl, you're 17 years old, and tomorrow is your 18th birthday, and you have to walk around and watch as the men in this town transform from being passively creepy about like, oh, 17, huh? Almost there, almost legal, to being monsters that you have to defeat with a sword, and you have to kill them on your 18th birthday when they metamorphosize into insane creeps who now feel like the law has justified them treating you like a sexual object. That's not the game I think we should make, but I'm putting it out there. There would be a sequence like the Blood Moon sequence in Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom, where you can watch all of the men physically transform into horrible monsters, knowing that you are going to have to put them down with your big sword.
Would this be happening like on your birthday, like your IRL birthday?
Yes.
Or is it just birthday themed?
I like the idea that it's both. But any woman who has made it to my age has already experienced similar things. So I just wanted to put that out there. I don't think that's the game we should make, but I think it's a good concept. It would be cathartic, I think, for some people to play through.
You know how people, they'll like text you happy birthday because it's like at midnight, so technically in spirit not really, but maybe that kind of, that's how this app manifests, at like midnight on your birthday, just as it begins. Mm-hmm. You get the kind of, you know, Link, a blood moon rises, but like at exactly on midnight.
Is this a text-based Breath of the Wild Zelda like game played on your birthday on your phone through your message app?
I'm thinking there's got to be something in it for the player, right? So maybe for like the entirety of your birthday, it will, the access that it's already got to your phone, it will automatically reply to every like birthday message and well wisher.
Okay,
like whether it's on this random outsourcing person on LinkedIn, or it's like
Facebook.
This person you went to school with on Facebook from 12 years ago or something like that. Maybe it's like a kind of productivity tool for your birthday. It deals with all that. Maybe it like arranges like birthday drinks for your friends, since we're going full fantasy. Or it sends out like, you know how when you were little, you would have like invites to a birthday party that was like Sonic themed, and you'd have like little themed invites. Maybe that gets sent out too for you.
And you can choose which Nintendo character, which Zelda character is the, you want to send Tingle invites, you can, etc.
Yeah, maybe, but you got to earn it by clearing like a camp in kind of Blood Moon phase Breath of the Wild, or a tricky shrine.
And the terrifying aspect of that is the automation of your most basic human relationships. The automation of replying to people who have taken a moment to reach out and have well wishes for you. And instead of engaging with that, you just sort of have this weird virus app on your phone that takes care of it for you. And this is the ultimate terror of human loneliness.
Or maybe it just can't be muted. Maybe it's just like an alarm that, you know, midnight on your birthday just full volume. It, by the way, it sets your phone volume to max.
Of course. It's a horrible virus. It's actually doing quite a lot of damage.
Oh, yeah, your hearing is ruined if you're, like, sleeping with your phone under your pillow or something.
Yeah.
And it's like, Link, it's a blood moon rises.
Wake up!
And also, it's happy birthday as well, by the way. And,
We've had a lot of really good ideas. Honestly, a lot of really terrifying birthday Zelda / Link adjacent games concepts. Did any of those concepts really speak to you?
I quite like the idea of the automation of like birthday obligations for introverts. Because like you wanna catch up with people, but at the same time, you've got to like really turn it on and pretend to be normal for like 24 hours on your birthday.
Are you pretending to be normal now, Rob?
Yeah, this is me kind of, oh no. you've got to turn it on. You've got to find the energy when you've got like one birthday per year, and you've got to like take the opportunity to reply with some gusto in a way that I guess you wouldn't necessarily normally find that energy. I feel like having Link do it for me, or having Zelda do it for me in like a very gentle voice would be of comfort.
Okay. What's the gameplay of that? I mean, you pitched kind of defeating a shrine. Maybe it's like, I'm thinking like almost like a carnival game where you like slam down a mallet and it sees how strong you are, but it's an emotional meter where maybe it's like a shrine, and if you beat the shrine in a certain amount of time, then the quality of the messages that Link and Zelda are going to send on your phone are better. So it's like if you do a bad job at the shrine, the replies are like, thanks. No exclamation point. Not even a capitalization, just like thanks to every single comment. But if you do really good on the shrine, if you beat it really quickly, it's like, thank you so much for the well wishes. How are you doing? I hope you're doing well. And it gets more elaborate and more emotive the better you do.
Maybe the solution is, it could be, maybe the... there's like a biometric aspect to it where it kind of gives you like a jump scare. Like, okay. It's like, so it's, you wake up, it's like the morning of your birthday. Mm-hmm. And because this thing is on your phone and you've given it permission to frankly abuse that power, it sends you like a text from one of your contacts saying, hey, so what time should I come over? Like later today. And then like the thumbprint sensor that you would normally unlock your phone with that actually measures like how much you sweat in that instant using like capacitive like conductivity.
Yeah.
It kind of measures your clamminess, like your social panic in that moment. And maybe that's like the measure of it. If you're like extra clammy, extra sweaty.
A birthday app for introverts, yeah.
You get like your state mandated Link themed or Zelda themed like personal assistant.
I think you could choose. You can probably choose when you download the app, which you want, if you want Link or Zelda. I love the idea of this app sending you a jump scare message that looks like all of your friends are planning a surprise party and accidentally CC'd you on it, and you get that and you're like, no, forced friendship.
Yeah, and it begins like, oh, hi, I know there's like 25 people in this group chat, so I'll keep it brief. We're gonna pile into Rob's house in like an hour's time. Don't wipe your feet on the way in because it's gonna make it too obvious what we're doing, and make sure you bring a plus one because we want to really pack it out.
Yeah.
And then
I've got the keg. We've got some pizzas on order so that we can really stay here for a good 7-8 hours.
Yeah, we ordered like extra anchovies, extra garlic, just all the stinkiest ingredients. No napkins. And then it becomes like this kind of cerebral That's terrifying, ticked off.
All right.
And it's on your birthday.
I think that's good. I think it's a good, it's very much targeted towards introverts. So you're going to have to sort of guide the development on that, because as an extrovert who likes spending time with people and likes receiving birthday messages, this app is not meant for me. Any excuse I have to reforge the bonds of friendship with people I haven't talked to since high school is a chance I'll take.
Yeah, this is the reserved Englishman's perspective that I'm clearly bringing here.
Yes, and thank God, because I'm always bringing the American extrovert energy. I think the Breath of the Wild alike angle on that can just be that. I mean, maybe that's the thing, is like, if you can calm down enough to parse that is a trick surprise party invite. If you can control your biometrics potentially as the gameplay interface, then it will automatically, Link or Zelda will pop up and be like, gotcha, happy birthday, or something like that, where it's, I do like the idea that the Breath of the Wild alike aspect of this is that Link and Zelda are there to emotionally guide you through what is apparently the worst day of the year for you.
Yeah, emotional support Zelda.
Yeah, your waifu, your birthday waifu, Rob.
Yeah, Zelda, Legend of Zelda, : birthday waifu, surprise.
Is that your picture title?
That could be the title, yeah.
Legend of Zelda.
Zelda, birthday waifu, surprise.
Do you think we're going to get waifu past the Nintendo people who determine what the names of games can be?
Oh, God, no. Also, she reads aloud a coupon, never written down, just like, you got to be ready. He'd be like, here's your birthday coupon. Coupon. XYBAH- And then there's like 20 more characters.
Yeah.
It's
10% off one Switch game.
Yeah, if you buy like two first party Nintendo games for like $70 each, then you get like 5 off or something.
Yeah.
Or you get to play again next year on your next birthday.
Well, I like what you've offered is that this is kind of a full day of little surprises and stuff like that. So maybe, yeah, you don't know when she's going to read off the coupon, but you know, at some point during the day, you're going to get a little voice memo that's going to pop up and read that off to her. Maybe it's full of little surprises like that.
You know how the Joy-Cons are partly designed to allow some kind of local multiplayer co-op thing?
Yeah.
Was it 1-2 Switch?
Yeah.
It was like one of the launch. Yeah, that kind of thing. It'll help them for like marketing research reasons, give them an idea of who's got like friends that they're actually playing with and making use of all these like gyroscopic, like local multiplayer features.
Okay.
Maybe like your panic of having other people in the room where your Nintendo Switch console system also lives, TM.
Okay.
That's like useful feedback, I think, for marketers, because they know you've got a friend who can play with you.
Yeah, I mean, depending on the game, like maybe it does analysis on how many multiplayer games you have and how often you have played them with people. Maybe it's checking your Animal Crossing save and seeing how often you're visiting islands and people are visiting your island, that sort of thing. And then using that to judge how lonely you are. There's a secret math happening in the background of this game that's super intense. It's their proprietary equation for determining human loneliness. And it is determining that based on these really arbitrary things that don't actually determine they determine how much of a multiplayer gamer you are and nothing else.
Mm.
That help you have a good birthday?
Yeah, sometimes you need a little Zelda-themed virus. to ruin your phone.
Well, I think we narrowed down the title. My part of me wants to push back about waifu, because obviously they're not going to allow waifu. But I had such a catchy title, Birthday Waifu Surprise. Maybe it's just, okay, wait, here's my pitch. It's just called Birthday Waifu Surprise, and the waifu looks a lot like Zelda, And maybe we name her like Linka. And you're like, well, hold on.
Was this legally distinct?
Yeah.
Legally distinct.
Non-copyrighted, legally distinct waifu, Queen Linka.
Royalty-free waifu birthday surprise.
Or do you really want to stick to Legend of Zelda birthday waifu surprise?
Is there room in the Big Game Hunger budget to license a first-party Zelda IP?
Yeah, let me crack open the books. Click, 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 clack, click, 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 click,
yeah,
click,
open...
click. That's my, I'm hitting my abacus. Click, clack, click, clack, click, click, clack. Yeah, we can afford it. Yeah. It looks like we'll just be able to buy Nintendo, and then we can do whatever we want with the naming conventions.
Cool. Just rename the whole thing to Birthday Waifu Surprise.
So Nintendo, the company, is now named Birthday Waifu Surprise, is what you said.
Industries, yeah.
Industries.
Birthday Waifu Surprise Industries.
Okay, so it's Birthday Waifu Surprise Industry presents Legend of Zelda Birthday Waifu Surprise. is that what you're suggesting?
Yeah. It's my birthday, damn it.
It's not, but I'm going to give it to you because...
It will be one day.
It's potentially sometime this year or next year.
Yeah, it's already gone this year, so...
Oh, man.
Q1 next year, we're going to tee this up.
Hey, Rob, happy birthday. I don't know if I told you for happy birthday this year. I actually think I did.
Thanks.
I think I did, and now I'm thinking back about how you replied. You didn't actually say anything. You just kind of made a grunt, like you were attacking a goblin of some kind. You were just sort of like, yeah, ho!
Yeah.
And I thought that was weird at the time, but looking back on this game that you've pitched, it kind of makes more sense.
Yeah, I was in the at the drawing board
for testing some
birthday
stuff
waifu, waifu birthday surprise. Mm. What did we call it? Birthday.
We called it Birthday Waifu Surprise Industry Presents Legend of Zelda Birthday Waifu Surprise. And you said, yeah, let's do that, Rob.
Yeah, that's it. That's fine. I just needed the reminder. It's good to hear it out loud from another person.
Yeah, to confirm what a good idea it is that we should definitely go with.
That's a marketing technique, yeah. It's unwieldy, but...
It gets across what we're doing.
Like, so is, you know? Sid Meier's Civilization 6. Like, who invited you? Sydney.
Rob, do you have anything to plug?
Yeah, Wishlist Demon School.
Yeah.
That's a much pithier name.
Yeah.
And go and grab World of Horror. That's about it. Check out everything else published by Isprit Games. Also, if you want a 19th century style oil portrait doing, I'm Fawn Relic on Twitter. That's FawnRelic. Fawn Relic. And enjoy my art. A lot of it's fan art, so there's probably something for you if you're into either Bloodborne, specifically Shadowheart from BG3, mm-hmm. or a little Disco Elysium.
I will post links to all of those things in the episode description of this episode, but I can confirm World of Horror is an incredible game. If you like Junji Ito-esque RPG, if that is a phrase that appeals to you, you've got to play World of Horror. And it's been a while since I've played any of the Demon School demo stuff, but I'm extremely hype about that game coming out hopefully this year. So you should just check out all of the games that Isprit has. Big Game Hunger is a part of the Multitude Collective of podcasts, created and hosted by me, Jenna Stever. If you enjoy this episode, don't forget to subscribe and also spread the word so other people can enjoy it as well. To support the show directly, subscribe at patreon.com/thejenna. Every month, subscribers can submit prompts that get added to the ingredient list. Help guide the podcast and our brainstorming at patreon.com/thejenna. Rob, what's one word, adjective, gameplay type, premise, etc. that you want added to the ingredient list?
Recently, since I got back from GDC, San Francisco, I've been really into the spicy Takis.
Ooh.
You know, like the potato chips?
Yeah.
There's something about like that kind of limey hot sauce thing, which I'm hooked on, and I'm down to like, there's like 3 little shards left in the bottom of the tube, which I'm rationing because I live like 3,000 miles away from where they get sold.
Uh-huh.
Gotta make them last. So... spicy is my prompt.
Ooh.
Open to interpretation. Potentially delicious.
I have a guess on how I'm going to interpret it in the moment, but we'll just see. We'll see when it happens. Thank you for joining me, Rob.
My pleasure.
Thank you for listening to Big Game Hunger, and don't forget to wishlist Birthday Waifu Surprise Industry presents Legend of Zelda Birthday Waifu Surprise. Release date, TBD.